sometimes the things you plan don't always work out the way you plan them. And sometimes things you don't plan work out amazingly. I didn't tell John what I was speaking on this morning, but take a moment and follow me through the songs that we just sang. We started with number two, if I can remember them in order. Started with number two, A Wonderful Savior. We went to number 40, Does Jesus Care? Back to number three, At the Cross. What was the fourth one? What's the number? 128 deals with His death and His resurrection. And has in there the phrase that death couldn't keep its prey. The invitation song deals with the blood. Now you would think He's been studying over my shoulder all week long. Now back to what I mentioned before. Some things that you plan just don't work out. I've been working on a lesson for about 2 weeks now that is a lesson that I have been assigned for a lectureship later on in the year, West Jefferson, North Carolina, where Tim Knuth is, who came and spoke on our lectureship. And the theme of the lectureship is the I Am statements of Christ. Of course, when you think about the I Am statements of Christ, you primarily think about the book of John. And just a year or so ago, we went through the book of John. We looked at so many of those I Am statements where, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and others like that. And so I looked at the schedule, and he told me what the topics were, and there are six other speakers, I believe, who all have I Am statements from the book of John. And he said, Aaron, your topic is I am the Alpha and Omega from the book of Revelation. Everybody else gets to talk about the book of John, and I get the book of Revelation. And I've been studying on this phrase, I am the Alpha and the Omega, for the last 2 weeks. And what I have is going to take about 15 hours to present to you. So I'm not going to present it all. What didn't work out the way that I planned is this. Sometimes I get to study on a topic for a sermon, and by the time I'm done, I don't want to preach a sermon. What I'd rather do is all of us sit down in a circle for about 3 hours straight and just discuss this massive amount of material that's all in my brain and I can't get separated out. Instead, what we're going to do is talk about the Alpha and Omega this morning and tonight. And hopefully, we're going to stay about 25 minutes each lesson. And if you want more, come see me. There's more to be said. But in the process of my research on this topic, one thing that we need to begin with is this. Alpha and Omega, what does that mean? The statement is only ever recorded in one book, the book of Revelation. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. We're going to spend the majority of our time here. We're going to scoot out of the book of Revelation for a brief moment, but then we're coming right back. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that statement. Now, the book of Revelation is not the book of Revelations, plural, with an S on the end. It's not Revelations. It is the revelation. You ever heard the term apocalypse? If people always talk about the apocalypse, and they're always talking about the end of the world. The term comes from the term revelation. The term in the Greek is apokalypsis, and it means to reveal, to open up. This book is not about the end of the world, as many people believe it is. Matter of fact, it says very little, if anything, to do with the end of the world. It is the opening up, the revealing, the revelation that belongs to Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants. Things which must shortly take place. King James says, which must shortly come to pass. And he sent, and here's another term we must remember. If you want to study the book of Revelation, that's great. It is one of the most encouraging books in the Bible. And it's probably one of the least difficult books in the Bible. If you understand a few key things. First one is this. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's His message to His servants that He received from God. Number two, He sent and signified. It is a picture book. It is not intended to be a historical narrative in prophetic form of what will happen in real, literal events on this world. And if you try to interpret it that way, guess what you get? A bunch of nonsense that you cannot understand. It is a series of visions and revelations to the first century church about their time and the things they would go through. And that's where the Alpha and Omega comes in. Chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. That's a phrase we're going to come back to. Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Who washed the Christians from their sins in His own blood? Jesus Christ. How is He described? He's the faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the ruler over kings of the earth. He loved us. He washed us. It's introducing you to the Messiah, the Christ. He said in verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him, Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. Now, that's just about the single most literal statement in all the book of Revelation. John says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He received it from His Father. He's declared it unto you. He's the faithful and the true witness. He's the one who's made us kings and priests. 2 Peter. That God has made Christians and nations of kings and priests, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But he says, this is the Christ who's coming back. And every eye will see Him. And those who pierced Him will see Him. He says, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, here's something we have to get as we look at this phrase. There are three or four statements where Alpha and Omega are used in the book of Revelation. I say three or four because if you're reading in the King James or New King James, those translations that came through the Textus Receptus manuscripts, there's four. Chapter 1, verse 11 includes the statement from Christ, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. If you're reading from the English translations that proceeded through the Westcott Court, which is the ASV, the ESV, the RSV, and others, you're going to find there's three. Because based upon the manuscript evidence, they said chapter 1, verse 11, the first part of that shouldn't be in there. But you'll still find it elsewhere. You don't lose any content in there. It's just not, they say it's not in that statement in the manuscripts. So let's notice first the three or four places that we find the statements. This is going to be interesting. Chapter 1, verse 8, God Almighty, the Father says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, why has He said that? He's just said that Jesus is going to return. He's going to come with the clouds and every eye will see Him. And He's verifying how you can know that's true. He says, I've declared it. I'm God Almighty. I'm the one who is. I'm self-existing, eternal. I'm the one who was. I was in the past. And I'm the one who will be. I am self-existing, everlasting, eternal, and therefore you can write it down, you can take it to the bank, you can know He's coming back. Verse 11. Verse 9 says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So John, believed by all accounts to be John the Apostle, is on the island of Patmos. It is the Lord's day. It is the first day of the week. He is in the Spirit. The idea there is he is wrapped up in worship, seemingly. Not the idea that the Holy Spirit had come upon him and he was somehow in the Spirit. That's not really the phrase there. But as he is in the midst of worshiping on the first day of the week, he hears behind him a voice as of a trumpet. It's talking about the loudness, the clarity with which he can hear this voice. And the voice says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned, John again saying, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And he goes on to describe the appearance of Christ before him. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, that statement literally translated is, I'm the living one who had at one point become dead and now is alive for ages and ages. The expression there in the Greek that would be used for eternally, forever. He says, I am living. I am self-existing. I became dead at one point. And I'm alive forevermore. Who is that? That's Jesus. So this continual statement and description beginning in verse 11 is Christ. And Christ tells John, you write down what you see. Why? Because I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Write these things, verse 19, which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Now, he begins there and addresses the seven churches of Asia Minor, chapter 2 and 3, and that's generally, in most congregations, the only part of Revelation that ever gets studied. Except maybe chapters 21 and 22, and they're generally misapplied. Now step over to chapter 21. We want to see the other two statements. Again, bear in mind, outside of the book of Revelation, Alpha and Omega never used anywhere else in Scripture. There is one term that we'll notice very briefly that is used in Isaiah that is the same type of statement, and I believe from which these statements originate. Chapter 21 of Revelation, we're generally familiar with this because it's the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down out from heaven. It's the description of this, and it's generally declared to be a description of heaven, and it's not. It's not at all. It's a description of the bride of Christ. Who's the bride of Christ? The church is. This is heavenly language describing the glory of the church of God. But notice, chapter 21, verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there is no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Notice, first and foremost, if you want to know this is the church, it's coming out of heaven. It's not in heaven. It's not heaven. It's coming out of heaven, and it's adorned as a bride for her husband. Verse 3, "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Where is this taking place? With men. God with them. Go back in your mind to the Old Testament. And what is it that God gave Israel when He brought them out of Egypt? He told them to build the tabernacle. He gave them the mercy seat. He gave them the Ark of the Covenant. And He said, "I will be in your midst." And His presence was. This is the New Jerusalem. This is the tabernacle that is with men. Verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Now, in order for you to interpret that statement, you've got to understand the book, rest of the book of Revelation. You've got to understand what the church was enduring. You've got to understand what God's talking about, the former things that they have endured. Verse 5, "Then He who sat on the throne," God Almighty, the Father, "said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me," John, "write, for these words are true and faithful." Remember, Christ is the faithful witness. It's His revelation. He says, write His words. "And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Question. In John chapter 4, when Jesus met the woman from Samaria at the well, what did He say she should have asked of Him? Water. Not the water that you drink and then you become thirsty again and you have to go back to the well to get more, but eternal water springing up, the water of life. The Alpha and Omega is the water of life. Chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 1, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." Who's the Lamb? Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. "And this water proceeds in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life." Remember, these are signs. These are visions. This is talking about the church. Wait a minute. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, there was a tree in the midst of the garden which granted life. You remember after Adam and Eve sinned, God said, "We must cast them out of the garden, for if they eat of the tree of life, they'll live forever." The idea is, as long as you had access to the tree of life, you had eternal life on this earth. God cast them out of the garden. God kept them from ever returning back in the garden. And now we have a vision of the church in the midst of which is the Father and the Son and their throne, out of which comes the river of water of life, and on either side of this river is the tree of life. Access to eternal life. Not any more eternal physical life, but in the church, what do you find? Eternal life. Salvation. There was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Question. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. We know from verse 14 that's Christ. He was in the beginning. He was present in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was present in communion, close fellowship with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, not as the Jehovah's Witnesses retranslated it incorrectly, was a God, but was God. Deity. But you skip down to verse 3, I believe it is, and what is it described as coming in to the world? The light came into the world. Then it talks about John the Baptist who came to declare Christ, to prepare the way for Christ, but it says he was not that light. Then it goes back to talking about Christ, the light of the world. Now, inside the New Jerusalem, they have no need for the sun. They have no need for the physical light. Why? Because the Lamb is present. The true light. Not the physical light. The true light that came into the world is present where? In the church. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants the things which must shortly come to pass." Verse 12. "And behold, I am coming quickly." Statement made by Christ. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end, the first and the last." What I want you to walk out of here this morning understanding is this. You begin the book of Revelation, and God is saying, "Here's my Son. Here's Jesus. He died. But before He died, He was." Actually, before He died, He is. He became dead. He lives forevermore. He's coming back. And here's how you know it. I, God the Father, am the Alpha and Omega. The beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Now, one passage you need to see before we leave. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Chapter 40 begins with God telling Israel, "Here's your comfort." And it's the same passage that John the Baptist references back to saying, "I'm a voice in the wilderness, crying out, make straight the path of the Lord." Chapter 41 begins, "Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near and let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment." You step back to the end of chapter 40, and it's that verse that we're familiar with because of the song. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then he tells the coastlands, the nations around them, you be quiet. My people, you come here. Let's come near to me for judgment. But he says in verse 4, who has performed and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, am... Notice the connection to Revelation. I am the first, and with the last, I am. Chapter 44. Chapter 44. Verse 1, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, that's Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 or 18. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, or the Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come, and let him who is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Isaiah chapter 44, he says, let him, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like the willows of the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. Thus says Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Jehovah of hosts. King over Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah, the first, the last, the eternal one, the I Am, and the King of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the one who is the leader of the might, the battle, the war. He says, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Isaiah's point, God's point through Isaiah is this. Jehovah, King of Israel, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, is the God Almighty. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, we never quite explained this, but what does Alpha and Omega mean? The term Alpha is the term for the first letter in the Greek language. The term Omega is the term for the 24th letter and last letter in the Greek language. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. The beginning there, the commencement, is what the Greek term means. And the conclusion. I'm the first in rank, priority, time, and order. And I am the last in rank, priority, time, and order. I am He who was, and who is, and who is evermore. But who says at the end of Revelation? Remember chapter 1 verse 8, that's the Father. The end of Revelation, chapter 22 verse 13, who says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last? Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is deity. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. And he wrote the book of Revelation by John to his servants to tell them what must shortly come to pass. And tonight, that's what we're going to see. And we're going to see how that term, Alpha and Omega, takes the whole book of Revelation in scope and gives those Christians who read it at the beginning and read it at the end the bookend message that they need to know. But this morning, what I want you to remember is the only way for you to be saved is if you're redeemed. If you're bought back from your sins. And the only redeemer you can ever have is the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that you'll see not dead, not laying down. The Lamb who was slain, who is slain, standing up. The Lamb who does war with the enemies of God. The Lamb who is victorious. Are you redeemed in His blood? Look at the invitation song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's our question for you this morning. If you're outside the body of Christ, if you're outside the church, if you're outside that which God brought forth out of heaven to bring His presence to men, then you're lost because you're outside the blood of the Lamb. If you're in that situation this morning, you need to change. You first and foremost have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am. You don't have to just believe that He's the Son of God. You have to believe He is God. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. You must believe. You must repent. We're going to see another point in Revelation 9 where God's going to send persecution and persecution, judgment, 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 judgment on the persecutors of the church and the continued statement, and they would not repent, and they would not repent, and they would not repent. God wasn't judging them and punishing them because He hated them. He wanted them to repent. But they wouldn't. And they'll be destroyed. If you will not repent, that's where you're at this morning. You must believe, you must repent of your sins, you must confess the name of Christ, and you must be immersed in water to come into contact with His blood. Will you do that this morning? The opportunity is made available as we stand and as we sing.